Thank you, Bob. I'm an alcoholic and my name is Craig. Honored and privileged to be here to share my experience, strength, and hope with you all. And good to see some of you that I haven't seen in a little bit, and good to see some folks that I haven't met yet. And thank you to D for hosting and asking, and of course to District 6 and the Literature Committee for your service. And again, the opportunity to share. One of the greatest things of the 12 step is the opportunity to share the experience, strength, and hope. I definitely need to be careful of the excitement, like it says on that frivolous page 88 in the book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I need to be careful of the excitement, but I'm definitely inspired to come out here and give what I've learned. I do believe I have something to offer, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I hope you, if you're practicing these principles, you are okay with being confident that you have something to offer. That's how it works. Sobriety date 11/28/98. Have a home group, the Mighty Purpose and Rhythm Group. We're an online only group. We meet 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Thursdays. Have a sponsor, service sponsor, and I have the opportunity to sponsor and service sponsor. I'll throw a couple of stats out there just because it kind of, goes along with what we're doing here. Obviously, you don't want to ask someone to share their experience, strength, and hope with you when they may not have had the opportunity to actually implement it. Traditions, much like the steps for me, are not an intellectual exercise. They're a practical application. It's a program of action. The action is, takes place in the traditions just as much as the steps for me. I've served at many different groups in many different states. I've had the ability and I've been fortunate enough to live in many different states and have different service positions, see how different home groups work. I've served in different roles at the district level. I've served on several different young persons committees as well as advisory councils. I've served at the area, including delegate. I've been to 4 general service conferences. I've worked at the general service office. And when you look at that upside down triangle, I've had the opportunity. I haven't done everything, of course. No one could do everything, but I've had the opportunity to dabble in a lot of the different committee work. And, and I think one of my greatest blessings that has to do with practical application of traditions, both at the group level and in the conference structure as a whole, is how many group inventories I've had the opportunity to facilitate. And when I tell you it's easily over 150, it's such an honor. And for those of you, and I'm guessing there's quite a few of you in here that have done fit steps, and from the perspective of being a sponsor, wow, what a privilege and a gift to be able to hear someone's fit step and then share experience and connect with another alcoholic on those principles. And I feel the same kind of sacred trust, the same kind of responsibility, the same kind of humility in facilitating a group inventory. Although, if you've never done a group inventory, it's not like I'm the answer man to the group, but much like a sponsor with a fifth step, I'm kind of listening, sharing experience, rather than hope, listening. And the groups just keep giving me more and more because as I go to several different groups or areas or intergroups or whatever to facilitate these, then I have more experience when I go to the next group, et cetera, et cetera. What does that have to do with anything? Well, that's pretty much essentially what we do in the service structure. It's kind of why we have the upside down triangle, the communication vessel that we have. And we may want to be a GSR before we're a DCM. We may want to be that DCM before we're a delegate, et cetera, so we can get experience, strength, and hope. I really hope I bridge the gap between service and recovery. Anytime I have the opportunity to share my experience, strength, and hope, I really like to make sure that we are talking about service and recovery as the same thing, because they are, especially since the early 50s when we did that experimental general service conference. All of the big words in the 12 concepts, all of the confusing diagrams in the service manual, all of the acronyms at the district meeting are all in relation to how we can most effectively carry the message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Please don't ever, if you're new, or new to service, don't ever allow someone to distract you from the fact that all of this, even though it might not be said outright, has everything to do with carrying the message to the alcoholic. That's what it's about. And if we're not focused on that, You might want to take a group inventory, right? A Comes of Age is one of my favorite books. And for those of you in here who are big book thumpers, and I'm sure there's a few, I might, you know, make you a little upset with this comment, but I think the book A Comes of Age is a more powerful and a more important experience to Alcoholics Anonymous than the book, the big book. Now, I know a lot of people are going to think I'm crazy when I say that, but I mean that in relation to having had that experience with the big book, and assuming you have too, the way it comes together with Comes of Age, because Comes of Age covers all of that. It covers our first legacy of recovery, covers our second legacy of unity, which is essentially the 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. And then it covers, although it's not written because this was published before that, it covers the third legacy, which is service. It doesn't really touch on the concepts, but the spirit of those concepts and the spirit of talking about what service is necessary and should we implement it and yada, yada. And I mean, the basic fundamentals, I don't want to be rigid or to promote quote unquote religiosity or anything of that sort. I'm just trying to say like a conformist attitude, but I really feel like we lack at the local AA group level, the very title of our pamphlet, which is the AA group, where it all begins. Because if we look around at our group, is it really where it all begins? Like, are we hearing about the steps? Are we hearing about the traditions? Are we hearing about the concepts? Or are we concerned that we might upset someone or that this might scare someone away? Like, I don't ever want to be embarrassed to talk about the organization and what its mission statement is. I don't ever want to be embarrassed to talk about any one of those 36 principles. Now, each group can figure out in their own way, and we'll get into what that has to do with here, how they want to implement all that. I get it. And I understand when someone walks right off the treatment bus, you're not throwing them into a GSR position. I get that. But having the understanding that we're a lot bigger than a Tuesday night group, a lot bigger than our own resentments and our own plans, even if they're good ones, I think is part of helping heal the alcoholism, part of really moving the cogwheel in the altruistic movement, you know? So as soon as you turn, and by the way, Bob was kind enough to talk to you about questions. I'm going to check in with Bob halfway, which is soon. You're here, I'm guessing, to get some answers. And again, I'm not proclaiming to be the answer man, but I'm guessing you're here to hear some experience and get some answers of stuff. So even if I hadn't said anything, I'd really love you to throw some questions in so you can help guide me. So it's less of a lecture and more of an interactive. What are you trying to find out? Why are you interested in the book Comes of Age? You know, why do you think the traditions are important, whatever? And I'm asking you a question here, but put those questions in the chat if you could, because that's going to help me be more useful. I can sit here and do my normal spiel. It's fine. I've done it a gazillion times, but I'd really like to guide towards where you guys are at or what you're looking for. So please take me up on that. With that being said, the first page of the second legacy in Alcoholics Anonymous Comes of Age is called Unity, the second legacy. And it takes us through several pages all the way up until 97. So you could do the math on that. I guess it's 18 pages or so. Kind of tells us a little bit about the history of Alcoholics Anonymous, a little bit about the history of the service structure, a little bit about the history of the 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. But the one thing that it hits you right between the eyes with at the very beginning of the chapter, these principles are called the 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. And they're talking in the first paragraph about traditional principles by which we live and work together and relate ourselves as a fellowship to the world around us. I get that it's popular right now. I get that it's interesting right now for folks to hold workshops and to talk about how do we put traditions in our lives. And I really like using the, you know, people have workshops about using the traditions at their office space or bringing traditions into their family relationships and stuff of that sort. I get it. And they're spiritual principles, so they're bound to be helpful. But I think it's really important that we understand what these are, rather than get distracted and lost in how these principles, because it's been my direct experience that people get confused because we're creating our own language about the seven tradition and what that means and how that applies to the household. And then people are not understanding what that means at the A group, not understanding that the seven tradition is not only about a contribution, It's about declining outside contributions. And there's so many different things that we could really get into. But I hope over the next, I don't even remember how many weeks we're doing this, that we really just sort of fortify and cultivate the basic understanding of these 12 traditions as it relates to AA. And it says right here in the chapter, relates to the AA group. And essentially that also means through the service structure of AA, and then how we relate that to the people we cooperate with, whether that's the volunteer coordinator at the prison, whether that's the governor of the state at an international convention, whether that's a professional or a health teacher at a school, the public information committee, you name it. Living and working together is an interesting philosophy. And one of the questions I ask myself right here on the very first page is, you know, can we hold together? Can we A's carry the message? Can we function as groups and A as a whole? The greatest gift that was given to me by a sponsor, and really essentially by the book of AA and the program of recovery, second to choosing my own conception of higher power, is hopelessness. Without hopelessness for this alcoholic, there's no interest. So if you leave tonight and you're just like, wow, AA is going to be here forever, then I didn't do a good job in the first session. If you just think AA is automatically going to be here and everything's kumbaya, then I haven't done a good job. I'm not saying we're destined to die an altruistic alcoholic death. I'm not saying we're going to fall off the face of the earth, but it's our experience, not just Craig's word. It's our experience that when we don't utilize these principles, we put ourselves in harm's way, and eventually we can kind of, you know, maybe lose sight of what our vision is. And we see that sometimes at the local level. We see that sometimes at the conference level. The second page of and I see the hand on the question. Thank you, Bob. I'm going to check in a minute here. But the on page 80 of Alcoholics Anonymous Comes of Age, something that I really like to talk about all the time, and I don't know if you have the book in front of you, but if you look at the third full paragraph, the first sentence says, pioneering in AA, of course, has not stopped. I hope it never will. A lot of the times we read books in AA as novels. We look at them as like scripture. We look at them as historical. You know, they're fun, they're interesting, they're imaginative, they're exploratory, yada, yada. Pioneering in AA happens tonight. It's not just an historical artifact or an archive of what the first 100 did or what the first this one did or what the second that one did. Pioneering starts now. In your district, if there's no understanding of blank, or in your home group, if there's no understanding of blank, it starts now. Pioneering is essentially just one who opens up new areas of thought. So how do we open up new areas of thought, or to be funny, how do we open up already experienced areas of thought and talk about these 12 traditions and bring that opportunity to the table, whether it's as simple as hosting a business meeting, or whether it's as complicated as a group inventory and everything in between. The big book has a line in it, one man with this book in his hand, and you could say that, or one person with this book in his hand or whatever. It's a powerful line, especially when you've really digested the pages, all the pages before that, because that tells me that any individual on these squares that has had an experience with the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous has the opportunity to carry the message to the alcoholic who still suffers, has the opportunity to carry the message to the community in which they live in. And that's what this is talking about here. Can I hang by myself? Can I carry this message? Can I practice the traditions in my home group? And I say that because, again, I'm trying to bridge the gap between service and recovery. They're not different. What are some of the ailments with respects before we even get into what each tradition actually means in the history of AA? What are some of the basic ailments in AA group? Are they going to like me? Do I know enough to speak up? Oh my God, I'm going to look silly. You know, all these kind of like quiet alcoholic. We say all the time in AA that like our alcoholism is this big dude doing push-ups, right? Well, it's more like this little leprechaun, right? Like convincing you of these little things in your head, right? You're not good enough. You shouldn't speak up. But that's also why we need the traditions. When I'm inside an AA group, a district, area, conference, whatever, and we're living by these principles and this, what I call an unshakable foundation, much like we described the steps, I'm not worried about one individual who goes off the rail on one Wednesday night. I'm not even worried about one newcomer or one old timer that is so out there. It's not even funny, because I understand it's all part of the greater whole. It's all part of the group conscience. It's all part of gathering what we need to get to where we need to make the message most effective. Do I consider alcoholics all over the world? If we're not inside our AA group, facilitating business meetings about how we can most effectively carry the message right in our group, but also stay connected to AA as a whole, I think we're missing the mark of the vision of AA. Now, again, you have the right to do whatever. There's no AA police. And I'm not saying if you don't hurry up and jump on the traditions, you're going to die tomorrow. That's not how I operate. But still, if I'm not considering alcoholics all over the world, how can I effectively open that door and make things accessible for the alcoholic we haven't met yet? We are inherently selfish, self-centered, fear-based. There's so many blind spots, it's not even funny. So if everybody in here buys that, well, doesn't that apply to service? Because it's actually a little more scarier, because now you don't just have one Craig or one D or one Leslie or one Carrie. You have 17 or 50 or 80, depending how big your group is. So if we don't live by these principles, then everything gets more towards selfishness. That's why these are so important to me. Just one more thing before I ask the question. Do I consider the best possible 12-step work? Again, these are some of the reasons we have the history of AA written down. These are some of the reasons we want the traditions. Do I consider the best possible 12-step work? When we're facilitating a business meeting, when we're going through our secretary's report, treasurer's report, whatever, all of our affairs, is it surrounded and based in how to most effectively carry the message of AA? Sometimes we don't think about that. But if we're not discussing the primary purpose in the treasurer's report, if we're not discussing the primary purpose in the secretary's report, if we're not discussing the primary purpose in the literature person's report, then again, we're missing the mark. But these are just basic, basic fundamental ideas. This is nothing new. Can we check out a couple questions real quick, Bob?
It's actually me. It's Brooke.
I apologize, Hi. Brooke. Hey, Brooke.
Good, it's okay. I'm just a little prettier than Bob.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, okay. I have a couple questions so far. So I'll you know, ask you one, mute myself, and then we'll go with it. Okay, the first one is, why do you think AA Comes of Age is more important than the Big Book?
Did I say important? So the reason I think the book AA Comes of Age, as I described, is it really hosts all of our experience around all 36 principles, is which what we are now. I believe if we were an organization just of 12 steps, we couldn't possibly grow as we've grown, and we won't survive. I truly believe that. If we are just the 12 steps, and I know that's a very controversial statement to maybe even some people in here, let alone AA, but if we don't have those traditions to help the groups work together and keep the doors open together and grow together, if we don't have those traditions for how we work with the people in the public, if we don't have the concepts to how we're going to facilitate our general service board, our grapevine board, our AWS board, our general service office, our grapevine office. If we don't have all of those, then we can't really thrive. We might survive, but we can't really thrive. And the book AA Comes of Age kind of captures that history, kind of gives a vision of what the future can be, and really brings it beyond just the individual. If I'm simply just taking inventory every day, even if I'm making amends, even if I'm doing the best I can, if I'm doing some me time and getting my nails done, like, it's still just about me. Now, please, I'm not saying don't get your nails done. I'm just saying, like, if that's all I'm doing, then it's not really about what AA's vision really is. If you disagree with that, and I'm not saying tonight, take my number. Let's have a conversation. I'd love for you to show me where AA doesn't say that. Tell me where AA says to just focus on your own affairs, your own 12 steps. Is there another question?
There is. How do the traditions apply to my home group?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. So I think the traditions simply start applying when we read, when we choose to read particular pieces of A literature, not just conference approved literature, because there's a literature that's still valid that was created locally, or it might be a piece of an excerpt from a grapevine. But when we start to read that, when we start to put the shade on the wall, or if we're a virtual group, we put a shade in the background, and then we start to use those principles to make decisions. So I'll try not to go long-winded here, but for example, when we have, just picture any motion. I'm sure almost all of us here is a member of a business meeting. Think about any motion that has come up in your business meeting in the past 3 months. Did we consider the common welfare with that motion? Did we make sure we attained the informed group conscience, not just a group decision, but an informed group conscience? Were all voices heard? Did everybody have the opportunity to weigh in? Were we humbly enough to say, we don't know, even though a lot of us are really smart here, we need to go find out some more information? Did we do that? Did we have a vote where substantial unanimity was primary? Do we understand what an A group is? That it's two or three gathered together with no other affiliation. Do we know what it means to be an alcoholic? I did a service workshop in a state this weekend, and there was some folks that have been around for a while there that were misquoting the traditions and had no idea, in my opinion, what it meant to be alcoholic. And I'm not claiming to be a doctor. I'm claiming to talk about what an alcoholic is via the traditions in AA as we describe it. This is not my words. Do we really allow for consultation? In that motion, does it have to do with our primary purpose, or are we getting distracted? Are we getting wrapped up in money, property, and prestige for fear of other problems? Are we guided towards the A dollar and the spirit of that? Are we looking at what it means to cooperate with special workers, whether it's in a group, the office, and do we know what that means? Are we being directly responsible to those we serve? Are we communicating with those we serve? Are we giving those we haven't met yet a way to talk to us? Because the one thing I say all the time is, if you're looking around and you're not happy with the numbers, you're not happy with how many people come back to your home group, there's no basket in the back that people leave a note and say, I didn't like this, so I'm leaving. So we have to take a look at, you know, from an outsider's perspective, how do we look? Again, all within our motion. Are we focused on AA's message, or are we getting, you know, wrapped up in things that are an outside issue? And those, there's a thousand of outside issues: drugs, politics, religion, you know, you name it. Doesn't mean we obviously don't have discussions about how to stick with our primary purpose, or how drugs might invade that, or how sometimes politics is hard in this particular area during this particular time, and how do we stay focused? Like, yeah, of course, but we don't take that as you know, what our mission is as a group. Anonymity, that's a huge one. Have we had a workshop? Do we have the understanding of what anonymity means in our group? Do we know that anonymity is really talking about equality? Not just asking you not to put a number 7 on your Facebook page. Certainly has to do that. Certainly has to do with that also. But is the idea of equality, harmony, safety, are all of those crossing our mind in the group? Do our members know that that's what we're talking about with anonymity? Do we know about the humility and the sacrifice of the 12 tradition? I'm going to tell you straight up and down, I can't relate with you if you need to be famous and popular for staying sober. I can't relate with you. I can relate with the ego of that, but I can't relate with wanting to do that. Maybe unintentionally, but I certainly don't want to go down that path. I relate to you coming to me or asking to sit with me and say, wow, man, my ego is huge. And if I could, much like Bill, I would make a hospital and I would do all this. But thank God for these steps. Thank God for the group conscience. Thank God for the opportunity for the group to humble me. But we never get to hear those things if we're rushing our business meeting. And what kind of message are you carrying when everybody rushes to the beginning of the room and everybody's standing up and like, all right, let's go, let's go. The Yankees are on. Let's go. Let's talk. 10 minutes. Let's get this done. That's not exactly giving you the idea of being effective or carrying the message to the alcoholic who suffers, right? And please, I'm not saying you have to have a 4-hour business meeting. I'm just saying, like, what message are we carrying in our actions, in our words, in our format? So all of that, I know it's a little long-winded, but all of that is how we apply those traditions in our group. Do we pass the basket? Do we state, you know, our primary purpose in our format? We get so wrapped up in preambles and this and that. Well, guess what? Create your own. As long as it's based in the A12 traditions, create your own. But let's just stay focused on carrying the message. Is there any other questions? Perfect. This is something just in my own personal experience on page 83, and I'm just leaving the little nuggets because we only have an hour tonight, but I'm not sure what your understanding of God is, and I don't need to know unless you wanted to share that with me, but I definitely asked myself the question on page 83, can I see God's involvement of all this? When you look at the history, you know, there was a group that was started in Chicago by a bartender who was serving people drinks who wasn't even alcoholic. And for those of you who haven't read the book, Alcoholics Anonymous Comes of Age, there's a couple who went to Ireland and they were wanting to go on their vacation, but they saw that there was no AA there and they wanted to help start AA. So that vacation turned into an opportunity to be useful. There was a drum, not like a drum, but like an oil drum with a big book frozen at the bottom of it. I almost wonder, you know, this is my agnosticism. I almost wonder if that stuff was made up. That's just how fascinating it is. An Eskimo finds a big book frozen at the bottom of a barrel and then carries the message. I mean, that's something I would write in my eighth grade poetry class, which I never even showed up for anyway. But that's what I would do. I wouldn't imagine God was that powerful. I mean, I'm being sarcastic. Obviously, today I do. Words like unbelievable don't make sense today. Everything's very believable today because I have this relationship with this power greater than myself. But can I see God's involvement in this? Can I see the altruism? Can I see the spirituality? Can I see the dots connecting? Whatever version of your second step applies here. It's just fascinating to see all of this stuff and wonder, you know, where we came from. I really like The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Working at the office, I got to become pretty close with the archives department, not only Michelle, but also Michelle and her team. And I love that they always talked about the integrity of AA is not just about the good stuff. It's the good, the bad, and the ugly. I have, where is it? Oh, man. I have it somewhere around here. I have a pamphlet of AA groups past the civil rights movement in northern New Jersey, where if you know anything about New Jersey, it's a very eclectic environment, all kinds of ethnicity groups. And there it was, interracial group, because whites went to one meeting and blacks went to another, even after the civil rights movement. It's important for us to know the history. It's important for us to take a look at, you know, how stale we are or what we're doing wrong. But again, we can't have those discussions if we don't have traditions within the group, if we don't take the time to have the business meeting, if we're not hearing all voices, if we're not electing a GSR and asking that GSR to bring that up to the district and the district to the area and the area to the blah, blah, blah. So it's all connected. It's all connected. Something I like to just touch on quick, this is a little outside the scope, but pay attention throughout A's literature how important family involvement was. And I'll just tell you a small sidebar, has nothing to do with AA per se. It's just my experience. I mean, a lot of people in my family are in recovery this now after over 25 years in AA. Most of them Al-Anon, some of them other 12-step organizations. And it was all a direct result of learning what AA had, living by those principles, and then them wanting to adopt that. But also, besides just like, you know, a little pat on the back for me carrying the message to the family, it's the family's involvement that helped me get where I need to get today. One of the things I think we come across in service sometimes is we hear, and here's the point of what I'm saying, and this is just philosophical. I'm actually going a little off topic, but it might be useful. Sometimes we feel in a position where we have to choose between the son's soccer game or the family picnic or whatever, between that and service. My experience is my family, when I was a delegate, my family would be at the Christmas party saying they went to the AA site and they're not even in AA and they read my delegate's report and they were so proud of me and they wanted to talk about it. And the point I'm trying to get at is if we're going to involve the family in our children's life, if we write books or we play music and we're going to involve the family in that, why wouldn't we involve the family in Alcoholics Anonymous? Why wouldn't we invite them to our convention, to our anniversary night? Why wouldn't we let them know that they're a part of what this is doing? So we foster that relationship, which allows the AA member, in my experience, to be able to be a little more versatile. So not totally traditions-oriented, but still service-related. Because I know it. I service sponsor a lot of people, and I hear all the time, my wife doesn't think I'm around enough and this and that, or she doesn't understand. Well, how much did we sit down and talk with her? Did we invite her? Did we let her know that this is important, et cetera, et cetera? When we look at non-alcoholics' involvement too, we have to be aware of the non-alcoholics' involvement all the way from the beginning, from Lois, Sister Ignatia, Silky. Everybody knows who Silky is, right? If you're in the Northeast, you say Silky, but it's William Silkworth. All of these people that were involved in the betterment of Alcoholics Anonymous, Carl Jung. I mean, we can go on and on. The Class A's, the non-alcoholics that work at the General Service Office. So just because we have a primary purpose, a singleness of purpose, and AA is for alcoholics, it doesn't mean we don't cooperate. It's very important to have those relationships. There's a lot of non-alcoholics that help us get to where we need it to go. A very modern example of that story is if you were at the 2015 International Convention and you were at the Sunday morning speaker, you saw that an individual from the Georgia State Penitentiary was allowed to come out of prison, come out of his browns, come out of his handcuffs, give his father a hug, get on stage, I don't know if it was a half hour, 40 minutes, share his experience, strength, and hope, and then, you know, give his father another hug and go back. You don't get to just pop by a prison and say, can we borrow somebody for a little bit? Like, it doesn't work that way. But we have non-alcoholics that served on the board that were from the Department of Corrections. I mean, one of the individuals was actually the first Black federal appointed judge by Bill Clinton. And he was the individual who actually helped a lot of that come to be by having those relationships. So it's important we have the relationships with the non-alcoholic. And like it says in a lot of the traditions reading, we let them carry the message for us. So we let our friends recommend us, stuff of that sort. But remember that in relation to your home group, with the church that you're meeting at, or the VFW that you're meeting at, or if you're on the public information committee, the professionals you're talking to, build those relationships. Let them know you want a long-term relationship. And although it's not going to be Craig forever you're talking to, you'll be talking to District 6, but still let them know Craig is a representative of District 6. And this is how we do it. And we want to be able to be here for your clients for however long that is. And, you know, I don't want to use the word professional, but you know what I mean. Act professional. The same way you might at work. And same thing, you know, at the area and the prisons with the volunteer coordinators. My experiences were always carrying the message. I'll give you another recent story. One of the local areas had a contract problem and they were asking me for help. And I kind of gave them some pointers on the contract. And then I started to get what he called a little wordy. I'm not sure we need that. And I said, well, we're always carrying the message. Come on, we're not carrying the message when we write a contract. Yes, we are. It says in all our affairs, we're always carrying the message. When we sit down to discuss how many chairs we need at the hotel, we're carrying the message. When we're doing the walkthrough, we're carrying the message. When we're inviting someone to an anniversary, we're carrying the message. Except we're always carrying the message. So always use these, and we can't use them if we don't know them. Always use these principles, i.e. steps, traditions, concepts, in whatever we do, contracts, handshakes, etc., because there's an opportunity. And the moral of that story was we didn't clearly distinguish the difference in the relationship of Alcoholics Anonymous and that particular entity that they ended up having a contractual issue with. And because we didn't take the time, I'm not saying you lecture a bunch of hotel people about the traditions, but if you don't take the time to let them know what's important to you, when we go in a treatment center, we have to follow their rules. If we don't follow the rules, we can't go there, but we don't have to break our traditions. If we don't feel it's comfortable or safe, we can take a step back. We can take a pause. We can let them know who we are, how we operate. This is what we'd like to do. We do want to be available. And if they still say, nah, I'm sorry, you have to do it this way, well, then you say, here's where we're located. Here's where you can find us. If anybody wants to come, please come. But we have to have integrity to our traditions. It's okay to say no sometimes. Am I truly aware of how divisive I can be? I love questions like this. Like we like questions in the 11th step. I love to ponder. And I'm not trying to give anyone a complex here that they're going to destroy AA single-handedly. But I love to ask myself questions such as, is my behavior harming Alcoholics Anonymous as a whole? And I ask myself those questions today with several years of sobriety, with several opportunities in different roles inside Alcoholics Anonymous? Am I aware of how divisive I can be? I love staying in touch with people that leave AA. They are some of the greatest teachers because they're so candid about how they felt when they were at the group. They're so candid about how rigid we could be. They're so candid about the things that turned them off. And you and I can probably agree they're a little resentful and sour and all that. That's fine. But they're still giving me a wealth of information of how to more effectively carry the message. And again, that's all in relation to those traditions. It's so simple. It's crazy. Carry the message of Alcoholics Anonymous. Everything else is none of our business. It's hard to do that. A lot of us are sponsors in here, if not all of us. What's the one thing we struggle to do on a regular basis? Just stick to our experience, strength, and hope. We want to kind of be a little bit smarter than we are. We want to, listen, I know this is a desire to be helpful. I'm not saying anyone is trying to, you know, turn people into clones. I get it. But sometimes we go outside of that scope of experience because we want to be right. We want to be known. That's why I said those are the dangerous things in AA. Ego isn't dangerous to me because I can see it. It's right in front of me. We can call it out. We can talk about it. It's those silent, soft little perpetual isms. I'm not good enough, whatever. Like those little things that really put us in a problematic. Is there a question?
There is. I hear a lot about principles behind the principles. I can't find anything about that in our literature, though. Can you speak to that?
Wow. This is why I love questions, because then I get to talk about stuff that I couldn't think of that I wanted to talk about. There was a guy, and I'll leave his name out because that's what he would want. But when I was sober in Florida, he would do workshops similar to this. And they were very, very, I don't know if the word's popular, but it was a lot of clubhouses would have the quote unquote principles behind the principles. So, for example, step one would be hope. Step two would be, I don't even know. I don't remember them because I don't like them. I'm getting to that point here in a minute. And what the guy always said was, there is no principles behind the principles. The principle is the principle. Step one is the principle. Step two is the principle. Step three is the principle. And listen, believe what you want. You asked me my own question. Like if it works for you, that's fine. Like I don't have a problem with it working for you. It just doesn't work for me. Here's why. Even if I believe there is principles behind principles, the first principle is hope. Step one is so important for me to be hopeless. It's so important for me to be hopeless. I don't get hope in step one. I get hope in step two. But that's philosophical. You don't have to buy what I'm saying, but you ask the question. I like to keep things nice and simple. You want to go into the world of poetry. You want to go in the world of sales. You want to talk about the Super Bowl and all the advertisements. All those outside issues, trust me, I want to pontificate for hours. But with AA, I like to keep it very simple. Very, very simple. And the principle is the first step. The principle is the second step. And on to the 36 of them. Another question?
Yeah, I have a couple more. The second one is, would you stay in a group that studies the Little Red Book, Drop the Rock, and 24-hour-a-day book at group level?
Would I stay in a group? Wow, they're doing all three of them. If you asked me this question years ago, I'd have a very quick response. I think it's different. If I'm in the Northwest Territories and there's only three groups within, you know, 600 miles, my answer is going to be a little different than if I'm on, you know, 72nd Street in Manhattan and there's 600 different groups to attend. I would like to think, because this is what I've always done, if you haven't noticed my personality, if that was taking place, I'd like to try to bring a message. I'd like to talk a little bit about why this is an AA. I'd talk about the A literature guidelines and how it says to separate, and we don't sell these at intergroups and yada, yada. It's very tough in AA sometimes. At that same workshop I was talking about where the old timer, you know, was misquoting the traditions and stuff, I asked the treatment person to respond to a question that I got asked, and it had to do with singleness of purpose. And I loved his answer. He said, your talk was amazing, Craig, and everything you said was on point. He goes, but I got to tell you something. What does it matter if half of our membership is telling people to just come here anyway? And that's so true. because half of our membership is uninformed. Well, I don't want to say half, but enough of our membership is uninformed. And whether it's due to the alcoholic ego and arrogance or misinformation or whatever, we're just telling people to do things. And it's actually, you know, pretty harmful to the integrity of AA, which is why I think it's so important to take the time and have these business meetings and talk about these topics that we're talking about here. So would I stay in a group? It would vary. But again, I'd like to think that I would carry the message. But if I'm going to stay, I would be looking up historical facts with respects to conference advisory action decisions in relation to literature and why we use AA literature only, conference approved or just AA literature. Philosophically, and I'll keep this one point. I'm glad we're recording because I know some folks want it, but I'm keeping one point off. We can talk about it off the air that I think is a very controversial point with some of that literature and individual AA members that have gone and decided to go on their own ventures. But we should talk about it. We should have a discussion. One of the things I did when I was a delegate, and a lot of people were terrified of it, we had a big anonymity issue, and some of the people in our local community were the ones who were actually making the movies about breaking your anonymity. And rather than shun them or kind of give them a cold shoulder, I actually invited them to come to the assembly. And I invited them in an anonymity workshop to talk to us. Why do you feel anonymity is not important anymore? So rather than run from it or hide from it, having that discussion allowed the opportunity for some healing to take place, for some things to get out in the airwaves, for people to understand each other. Yeah, sure, there was a couple of verbal fisticuffs and whatever, but mostly it was spiritual. And it was useful. That's when you look at this book, AA Comes of Age, when you look at the history of AA, conflict is necessary. We don't grow without conflict. We need conflict. We need to challenge each other. We're all a small part of a huge piece necessary for a great whole. So I feel obligated. If you're a member of my home group, I am going to challenge you. And I'll be honest, sometimes I might need to have some better boundaries. I don't know. I keep figuring that out. But in the confines of our group, I'm not calling you up at your house at 11 o'clock at night and giving you my philosophical opinion. But in the confines of the group, the business meeting, I feel it's my obligation to challenge you. And here's a thought. Just in case you decide to be friends with me, or maybe you already are my friend, if you're not challenging me, then I take that very personal because I feel like you don't care. If you're just yesing me to death or you're not challenging me, then I don't really feel like that's a relationship. Are there any other questions?
Yes, I have two more. I have been called passive aggressive when I try to discuss traditions at a group that I attend. Am I wrong to want to talk about them?
No, of course not. I mean, that would be like someone telling me I'm wrong for talking about the steps at my group. That would be like someone telling me I'm wrong for talking about the concepts. Again, rigidity, right? If you were to go to your district meeting or your area and you were to make a motion, hey, I know we have 1,000 things to talk about and I know we like to argue for an hour and a half, but before we do all that, why don't we just start reading the book, AA Comes of Age, together? Why don't we start reading the service manual together? You want to know a secret? It's what we do at the group. We read the big book together. So it'd be the same exact thing, except we would be talking about the other principles. And I'd rather do some of that before we get lost in everything else. So no, I absolutely don't think you're wrong for talking about it. As far as a passive aggressive comment, which you didn't ask about, and I don't know who we're talking about, but I, you know, the old saying with respects to Native American mythology, you got two wolves, right? Good wolf, bad wolf. With relations to AA, you got the controlling wolf and the helpful wolf. I learned a long time ago through a fourth and a fifth step that I am going to be controlling for the rest of my life. It's just in my nature. It's my instinct. But I'm going to ask for the power, and I'm going to try to be a little more helpful than I am controlling. I feel if I show up, I come correct, I make amends if necessary. If I'm going to be a leader in Alcoholics Anonymous, if I want to bring up traditions to my group, if I want to confront my group on why we're reading the little big book and how come we haven't dropped the 24-hour book yet, if I'm not looking at all that stuff, then in my opinion, I'm not being helpful. But in order to be the best possible leader, and I'm not self-appointing myself as a leader, but in order to be any sort of leader, I need to take regular inventory. It's not easy. And I need to find out how to be more effective. And standalone, I'm a very strong personality, if you haven't noticed. And that doesn't always necessarily rub people the right way. So sometimes I have to compromise. If I want to help carry the message, I need to consider that. If I don't really care so much about the message, then I don't have to. But I have to take my own inventory and constantly make my wrongs right, or at least try to make connections, which is so hard for this alcoholic. So hard. Like, that is the hardest thing for me to do. I don't know anyone that cares more than I do, and I'm not saying they don't. I'm just saying I don't know anyone. I care so much, but I'm just not good at the sensitive, vulnerable. I try to be. I'm just not. But I think people can see my sincerity, and I guess I'm telling whoever asked the question, when you take inventory, people will see your sincerity. Maybe not next week, but over time, they will trust that. They will see that. They will respect you, and change will come, in my experience. Was there one more you said, question?
Yep. How does doing a 50-50 raffle go against our traditions?
Well, I don't even know what a 50-50 raffle is. And I'm saying that sort of sarcastically. But I think the best answer for that question is if we look at the long form of the seven tradition. I think that answers that question pretty clearly. I think if you ask yourself the question, actually, I'm going to have a little fun. You want to watch this? I think I can probably talk about almost all 12 traditions and how the 50-50 raffle gets in the way of those principles. One, are we really considering the common welfare of Alcoholics Anonymous when we have this 50-50 raffle? How it's confusing when someone comes to your group and it's okay to either gamble or solicit money or, you know, trying to be careful of terms here, but whatever words you want to use with respects to get money. I'm going to bounce around, but I'm still going to talk about the traditions. I think it really takes away from the spiritual side of the seventh tradition. The seventh tradition is about participation. It's about being a part of. It's about connecting the A as a whole. It's not about winning half of what you put, you know, half of the money or whatever. I don't think it really describes an informed group conscience, because I truly believe, and now I'm just saying my opinion and my experience, but I truly believe if we're fully informed on these 12 traditions, why would we ever have a 50-50 raffle? Now, having a raffle for a big book, like handing out raffle paraphernalia, I don't even know what the hell that's called. What is it, a ticket? Handing out a raffle ticket. God, so simple, raffle ticket. Handing out a raffle ticket, and whoever pulls it out gets the big book, which is still kind of silly, right? Because if you've ever been to any groups I've been to, whoever wins the book always says, all right, who needs one? Like, they never take the book anyway, right? But there's not the idea of the money. It takes away from the primary purpose. It's not our primary purpose to come to AA to win some money. It's not our primary purpose to gamble or to drum up some business with respects to, I still believe that's soliciting. The 50-50 raffle, in my interpretation, is solicitation, another violation of 6 and 7. I don't think it's considering other groups around. I'm betting that a lot of those groups that do that haven't consulted other groups and asked for their experience why they don't do it. I would definitely think that's, you know, outside issues. And then with respects to the 12th tradition, I think it really takes away, again, from the spiritual and the sacrifice, and it puts us, you know, focused on and distracted on that. So again, trying to bring service and recovery together. Good on questions for now. Thank you. Here's a good question I ask myself, and this comes from reading of page 92. And is my community inside and outside of AA properly informed of what AA does and does not do? So is my community inside and outside AA properly informed of what AA does and does not do? And I'll probably say 1,000 times during these workshops, the greatest thing my ever sponsored, the best thing in AA, the most important thing. So I'll say that a lot. So So take it with a grain of salt. But I think this is so important because if you've been involved in the service committees like I have, and I know some of you have, you really notice that those within the community don't really know what AA is. Not even sure where it's there. There's still some people that believe there's a therapist leading the group. Like they just really don't. So we have not done a good job telling people who we are and who we're not, making ourselves available, having simplified Q&As instead of handing someone a 17-page pamphlet on a Friday afternoon or inviting them on their day off on a Saturday to come to your workshop. That's why they don't come. We got to kind of get with the times a little, but that's for another discussion. Am I aware of the prospects available other than at AA meetings? Now, I'm not saying individually you need to go into Whole Foods and start pulling people out of the makeup aisle. I'm just saying, like, are we as an AA group aware of the prospects available other than AA meetings, you know, and what 12-step opportunities we have other than just being at the home group and waiting for them? And it's not all going to connect now if you're new to the traditions, but everything I'm saying, I'm going to relate it as we continue of what I'm saying right now and how each of these traditions apply to this. Just trying to get through some of the history and some of the things and some of the thinking that led up to going to, excuse me, bringing the traditions to AA. Here's another good one. Do I consider other areas of AA? What's that mean? 5 minutes? Oh, I'm done. Okay. Well, I guess I'm done for today. Thank you.
All audio and video files on the District6AA.org website or the District 6 in Area 15 YouTube channel are for personal use only. Reproduction, distribution, and commercial use are not permitted. In accordance with District 6 current practice, no faces are shown in our videos and audio is scrubbed for anonymity prior to publishing. Contributors whose voices are heard have given record and release consent. Opinions expressed by the presenter are their own and do not necessarily represent the group conscience of District 6 as a whole.